Okay, we're up to Perek Chof, Gimel Pasik, Tes Zayin. We're finishing up this Perek of Gimel. We are in the middle of discussing Tzor and Sidon, the Churban of Tzor and Sidon by Nebuchadnezzar, 4 years after the Churban of Yerushalayim. Their Churban was punishment for their celebration of their competitor. They said that after they celebrated the fact that the major competitor was eliminated, and they would now be the beneficiaries of all of the new lost business, all of the new business, all of the business that until now was conducted in Yerushalayim would now turn to Tsar. So we've learned that after it will be destroyed. It will be destroyed for 70 years. That is Pasuk Tezvav. And the reason why it was destroyed for 70 years was to correspond to the years of a Melech Echad. We learned yesterday the significance. Who is this Melech Echad? It means David. Rashi mentioned, doesn't know why, what's the significance of David. Can we explain from the Mitzvahs? I'm afraid that it was punishment for violating the treaty. There was a treaty going back before the base Hamidrash was even built between David HaMelech and Hiram Melech Tsar, that they would be good to each other. And in fact, Hiram assisted Shlomo HaMelech in building the base Hamidrash. And now, when they celebrated the fall of Yerushalayim, this was viewed by Hashem as a terrible sin, primarily because it was a violation of the bris, of the treaty, of the friendship between these two nations. And therefore, their punishment would last for the years corresponding to the years of David HaMelech, 70 years. The other interpretation we gave was it corresponded to the years of Nebuchadnezzar, not just Nebuchadnezzar himself, but as this dynasty which lasted for 70 years, which included himself, his son Evil Merodach, and his grandson Belshazzar, 70 years, because they celebrated the victory of Nebuchadnezzar above all, so they would also suffer the same number of years as that dynasty of 70 years. The third interpretation was Melech HaMashiach, that this refers to, this prophecy is not only true with regard to what happened in the past of the nation of Tyre, Tsar with Avav, as we discussed, but it refers also to the Malchus of Edom, which is alluded to in the word Tsar without Avav, Tsar, the nation who caused the Jewish people much pain, distress. And the Melech Echad, somehow the span of the Malchus of Melech HaMashiach appears to be 70 years, and that is how long the Tsar will be destroyed. But then the Pasuk concluded that after 70 years it will be restored. The nation of Tsar, or Edom, will be restored to a certain degree of success and popularity, but not like it was before. It will only be like Kishiras HaZona. And this we explained yesterday, so we're going to see a lot more again today, is that just like a zoner, in her prime, is she offers her services when she was young and everyone recognized who she was. She did not need to advertise. Her services were known by word of mouth. But as she gets old and no one wants to know from her, she has to market herself. She's not as popular as she was in the previous years, and she has to sing in the street so people will recognize her voice and once again be enticed or reminded of her services and come back. Meaning the idea is she's a zona. She's a second-rate citizen. Yeah.
Just occurred to me that in this word, esnano,
yeah,
it could be associated with Esnan Zona.
Esnan, absolutely. That's exactly what it means. Esnan means the money paid for the service. It means specifically money paid for the services of a Zona. So Pasuk Chotes Zayin, Kichi Chinor. So here we are referring to Tsar, Tyre, or Edom, after it is restored, after the 70 years have expired. Kichi Chinor. Take a harp. So the ear. Go and circulate in the city. Go around the city and play your harp. Zona nishkocha. You zona, you harlot who has been forgotten. You are in need of parnasa. And no one wants to come. No one wants to use your services because you have been forgotten. You're no longer popular. So you need to market yourself. And how will you do so? By playing a harp in the city, on the street corners. Hitivi nagein. Make sure you play the harp very well. You need the best marketing services out there. The harp, the sound must be of good quality. Harbi shir. increase the song. It's not enough just to sing once in a while. You'll have to continuously, constantly sing songs, l'man tizocheri, so that you should be remembered and someone will want to use your services. So tsar, you will be restored, you will be a center of business and commerce, but not like it was in the olden days. You're going to have to spend an enormous amount of money on marketing, and not just any marketing service, the best marketing service, and so I'm going to be continuous commercials, continuous advertisements on the radio, web advertising. We have all different types of marketing in order that you will be, people will know about you, people will remember you, and they will want to come back and conduct business with you. But of course, also the fact that we're referring to her as a harlot, obviously it's not going to be recognized as a distinguished place to conduct business. It'll be a second-rate place where if you can't get the merchandise you want in this location, so you can get it here, but people are not going to be running to go there. Pasuk Yitzayim v'hayel be. Pasuk repeats this idea. Mikate Shem Shana, the end of 70 years. Yivkot Hashem Esar. Hashem will remember Tsar. Hashem will have compassion upon Tsar. V'shova le'esnano. And she will return to her harlotry. She will return to business. Business as usual, but it's only going to be in the term of an esnan, payment for her services, which obviously is not very distinguished or respectable type of livelihood. The zonsa eskol mam luchos aretz, and she will consort, she will have relations with all of the kingdoms of the earth. Al pnei hu adama, she'll do business, but again, it's only going to be viewed as a business that's not ideal, a business that is second rate. When a person is desperate, so then they'll go, and if Tsar has what to offer, they will engage in business with them. Pasuk Yudches.
Now, what will Pnei Adama extra is trying to tell us something? It could have been it's called Mamulchaus Arut.
Correct. Why is it called Pnei Adama? What is the added word? I don't know. It's adding something significant. That it's not just going to be local. It's going to be throughout the entire globe.
Alpnei,
the kingdoms of the earth. Hey, I don't know. There is some significance. It's coming to expand the scope, the range. It's not just going to be local. It's going to be all over the world. She will be restored to international trade. But it's only going to be together a zona, and the payment's going to be together in esnan, which is a second, a lower rate. It's low class, not a choshev. It's not going to be something which is choshev. Pasuk Yud Ches. What will Tsar, the nation of Tyre, or according to the other interpretation, the nation of Edom, what will they do with their prophets? They'll go back. The Churban will only last for 70 years. They'll be restored to a country of international reputation once again. But what will they do with their prophets? So here it's fascinating. It's not clear what this pasuk means, but it says v'hoya sachra ve'es nana, two different terms for their prophets. One is their merchandise. Sachra means bartering. They would trade commodities. They specialize in one commodity, and other countries would trade, not necessarily cash. The es nana, which simply means cash, the profit they will receive for a business. Kodesh laHashem, they will not take the money and put the money in the banks. The money will be given as a donation. The profits of Tsar will go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Jewish people, will be sanctified, will be kodesh, holy laHashem. Lo ye'otzer v'lo ye'chosein. Two words would simply mean the same thing. It will not be stored. It will not be put away for storage in their banks and in their storage facilities, in their reserves, their oil reserves. It's not going to go there. It's going to be immediately distributed to people who are engaged in things that are kodesh laHashem. Lo ye'atzer lo ye'chosein. Ki la yashvim lefnei Hashem yihya sachra. People are in kollel. The people that are sitting before Hashem yihya sachra, their profits will be given to them to support these people that are yashvim lefnei Hashem. It's not clear for leechol lisava, so that these people can eat and be satisfied, satiated. Ule machse osik. Machse means clothing, to be covered, to be sheltered with osik. Osik literally means old. But in this context, it means choshev. Generally, things that are old have more value. not necessarily when it comes to food that spoils, but things that are of age, like wine, old wine, is choshev. So here in this context, it means for a shelter of significance, of chashivas, of beauty, of value. So the prophets of Tzor will go to the people that are will be dedicated to Kodesh Lashem and be given to people that are Yoishu Lefnei Hashem to support them, to feed them. They should eat, be satisfied, they should have shelter and clothing that is Choshev. And Farshim point out that this prophet is described as an esnan, and we know that an esnan zone of a woman, for example, he provides services and she receives an animal in exchange. The animal may not, it's an Isra Minatara, to be used as a carbon. Esnan Zonu Mechir Kelev may not be used as a carbon to Hashem. The Pasuk points out here as well that the money, the profits, will not be accepted in the Beis Hamikdash. It will not be used to support for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, but it will be given for the people who are devoted to serving Hashem. The money will not be the highest level. It will be the second level. Le'yoshim lefnei Hashem is a level lower than actually giving it directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a sacrifice or part of the Mikdash itself. But instead, le'yoshim lefnei Hashem, that the Esnan of this Zona, of this nation, so their prophets will be accepted. So again, it's a very mysterious prophecy. Until we get until these last two psukim, it can be interpreted very simply in reference to what happened 4 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's the year 74 in the Common Era. The year 74, simply coined out calculation, is when the nation of Tyre was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Tyre was a nation that, again, had a very powerful, very significant alliance with the Jewish people, very good friends with Hiram. In fact, when David HaMelech died, the Pasuk tells us that Hiram, Melech Tzar, sent a delegation to be Mekabel, to welcome the new king Shlomo HaMelech. To recognize, we know your father, and we have our supporters behind you, and we congratulate you on becoming the new king of Klal Yisrael. And again, Hiram, he helped build the Beis Hamikdash, but that relationship lasted for 410 years, all the way until the time of the Churban. And after and during that time, obviously, as the Churban got closer and closer, there was competition between Tsar and the Malchus of Yehuda for business, international trade. And when the tribe was destroyed, they made the fatal mistake of celebrating, feeling that now they will take over, they will become the center of the world. And that was viewed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a very great sin. And also, they took the pride for themselves, Hamatira, that we discussed yesterday, they took the crown for themselves instead of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. And for that, they were punished. But again, it also refers to the Malchus of Edom. And these last two psukim, really, that's the only way we can really interpret these last two few psukim, is that when they will one day be restored after their korban lasted for 70 years, and when they were restored, they learned their lesson. That's very insignificant. Many nations, after they're destroyed, they never learned their lesson. They appear to learn their lesson. And that's why when they were restored once again, they donated the profits of their business to the people that are Yoyeshev Lefnei Hashem. And that seemingly has yet to occur in the time of Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, now we go to Perek Chof Dalet. Perek Chof Dalet is another very, very mysterious nevuah. It refers simply to Milchemes Goig U'Magog. Avshem and Shrabi writes over and over that if you want to learn, this refers to a nuclear war, some type of catastrophe involving the Churban of the world. The psukim fit like a glove. Everything fits perfectly. Chas Shalom, should that be the interpretation? Obviously, there are many layers, but it does appear to refer to things that are going to happen at the end of the world, the end of time, the time of Yemos HaMashiach. The pasuk begins, Hinei Hashem Boikek Haaretz. Hashem, at this point in time, will learn the pasuk simply of the The Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi will study Rashi right away. Hinei Hashem Boikek. Boikek means to empty out. Like a bottle, you pour out a bottle. Hashem here will pour out the earth. Rashi learns that this refers to the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, the Churban of the Malchus of Yehuda, referring to the lifetime during the time, 100 years after the death of Chizkiyahu. Look at Rashi. Haray nevuzo pur'onus li Yisrael. It refers to the churban of the Jewish people. Lefi shenibu lechem nechama zo, vehem asidim liros lefanecha tsar rabba, lechein oma lechem loy lechem ani oimer shetirshua, ki heinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu boylek uboylek eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to empty you out of the earth, v'nosarim lechem, v'yam ha-geula, heimo yisu kolam yonu, and these people will one day, the end of the Nevuah ends with a song. So to summarize Rashi, you really need to go learn the entire parak to understand the depth of what Rashi is saying, but the point is that there's going to be a korban, the Yerushalayim will be destroyed, the Beis Hamidrash will be destroyed, and many will go into Golus, and there will be survivors. And the people that will survive will one day come back and build the Bayis Sheni, and they will sing to Hashem, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being saved and witnessing the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni. So on a very simple level, we're referring to the time period of the Churban Bayis Rishon. I made a mistake. I told you about Tzar was the year 70. I don't know what I was saying. That's a terrible mistake. When I told you Tzar was the year 74, it's impossible, because the year 74 was 4 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. I'm sorry. Going back 400 and before the Churban is 410 years plus 70 years. I'm sorry, 70 years, 420 years. The Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years plus 70 years of the Golus. So you go back 490 years. I don't know why I was thinking that. I'm sorry, it's not the year 74. You're going back another almost 500 years to the time of when the Tsar Tyre was destroyed, and we have to really look and see what it says in the secular dates that not necessarily correspond due to many other things. For some reason, they don't discrepancies between our calculation and their calculation. Okay, but again, it's clearly referring to the Churban Bayis Rishon. But here we are over here. This Nevuah simply refers to the Churban Bayis Rishon and the aftermath. The people, there are many people that survived and did come back to witness the rebuilding of Bayis Sheni, and that's what the pasuk, that's what these psukim are referring to. But also can refer to, as we mentioned before, Milchemes Goyg u'Magog. I think Rashi says that at the end, he mentions that also. That's also a valid interpretation. So let's see, let's try to learn the psukim according to both interpretations. So let's start again. Hinei, behold, Hashem bokeh ka'aretz. Hashem will pour out the earth. It's a very unusual word. Rad mitzudas here, it's inyan rakos. Emptiness. It means to make the earth empty. To the haaretz ubolka. Bolka means to split, to crack the earth. There will be cracks, massive cracks in the earth. Ve'iva foneha. Hashem will twist the face of the earth. And number four, ve'hefitz yosheveha, disperse the inhabitants. Four very powerful terms referring to Churban. Either just one of these things is terrifying, just any one of these terms, but all four together should make your hair stare on end. This is terrorizing. Boikek, bolka, ivo faneha, vehefitz yoshvecha. To pour out, to crack, to completely split the earth into two parts, to twist the face of the earth, whatever that means, it's not clear, and to disperse its inhabitants, the people will go into exile. The so either that means the Tarm L'chor Mayis Rishon, or this means some massive Churban that will come to the entire earth at the end of days. Pasuk Beis, at this point in time, all classes in society will cease to exist. Every person will fight for survival. It will not make a difference if you're a Miyuchas, if you're a Rosh Hashiva, if you're the simplest person, if you're a Bill Gates, or you're just a homeless person collecting a few cents just to survive. It doesn't make a difference who you are. Every single person will be equal in their attempt to survive. The simple people will be like ka kohen, like a priest. Now, if you learn this pasuk in reference to the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, the Eretz Yisrael, we're referring to the Jewish people. Kohen literally means a kohen, the Kohanim. The Kohanim were privileged people. They did the avodah. They were supported by the tzibah. They did the avodah Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't make a difference. A simple Yisrael will have the same status as a kohen because they no longer will be Beis Hamikdash. Everyone will be trying to survive. Ka'eved ka'adonav, a slave, will have the same status like his master. Kashivcha kagvirta, a female slave will have the same status as her mistress, as her master. Kakone kamocher, the buyers will have the same status as the sellers. Kamalve, the one that lends. Kaloive, like the one who borrows. Kanoshe, the one who has a claim, per the debtor, the creditor, the one that has claims against other people. Kasher no shebo, like the debtor. Every single person will be equal. There will be no class. It will be a classless society. Pasuk Gimel. Why will this happen? Because hibok tibo karetz. That goes back to the first word in the beginning of the parak. Because the earth will be poured out. The earth will be emptied out of everything, of the wealth, of people, of the values. Nothing will exist. The hibos tibos means will be robbed, like spoil, biza. The earth will be robbed. Who will rob the earth? Either it means other people will, and people will rob from each other, or it means that nature will rob the earth from its wealth. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be churban. There'll be some catastrophic churban, and the nature itself will rob society from its wealth. Ki Hashem diber es hadavar hazeh. You think it's impossible? No way can this happen. We're safe and secure. Hashem has spoken this matter. This will happen. Don't make any mistake about it. Don't think that the wealth and the honor and the dignity of the world will last forever. This will happen where the society will be reduced to nothing. Pasuk Dalet. Avla Navla. Avla means destroyed. We normally associate with Zavelos, but here it means destroyed. Navla means to wither. Haaretz, the earth will be destroyed, and the earth will wither. Umlala is another word which means to be cut off. Umlala krisa. The earth will be, umlala will be cut off. Navla, that word is repeated, wither. The earth will be cut off, and again, the earth will wither. Tevel, tail is another word for the earth. Umlalu. Umlalu means to be cut off. Merom am ha'aretz, the exalted people of the earth. So over here it means that the people that are the chashuvim, even people that were secure because they had their wealth stored in special places, it doesn't make a difference. Everything in this on this earth will wither and will be cut off. Even the Merom, the people who are exalted over the exalted people of the earth. Merom Am Haaretz, an expression which means, Rashi says, Gaon Am Haaretz, the pride of the people of the earth. The glory of humanity will be cut down, or it can refer specifically to certain types of people who are elevated over the other people of the earth. They will be cut down. Pasuk Hey, v'aretz chonfa tachas yoshvech, the earth will flatter beneath its inhabitants. Now what does that mean? Now to flatter means to lie. When a person is a mechanef, he flatters. You say things which are insincere. You say something, but it's a lie. You give someone a compliment, you don't really mean it. The words are coming out of your mouth. It sounds good. Everyone sees what you're doing, but those who are clever know that it's just a lie. It's just a facade. There's nothing really there. The earth will do the same thing, and the Pesukim will go on to explain. The earth will produce what appears to be grain. But when you look closely, you'll see there's no kernel. It's just a husk, it's just chaff, and there's no kernels. The earth is making litzanis of its inhabitants. The people who live in the earth, they need the kernels for food. They don't need the bran, the husk, the chaff. They need the important things. But the earth will flatter the inhabitants by lying and doing strange things. Why will this happen? Because the earth is sick. The earth has been contaminated by some type of catastrophe, some type of churban, and the earth is no longer capable of producing quality products. It produces things which look nice, but has no value. The Oretz Chanfa, the earth will flatter Tachas Yoshveha beneath its inhabitants. Ki Ovruth, why is this going to happen? Why are all the terrible things described in these last couple of Sukkim, are they going to occur? So here the Pasuk tells us three reasons. Again, this section of this pasuk has to be interpreted against the backdrop of the two approaches to this parak. Are we referring to the Jewish people who have been destroyed during the time of the Bayis Rishon, or are we destroying to Yemos HaMashiach, the Milchemes Goygu Magog, when the world is going to come to some type of Korban? If they're referring to the Jewish people, then these three terms refer specifically to sins committed by the Jewish people. If we refer to the time of Yemos HaMashiach, when the world, all of the nations of the world will be destroyed in this Milchemes Goygu Magog, then we're referring to sins committed by humanity, not necessarily related to the Jewish people, but sins committed by society. What are the sins? So here there are three sins. Number one is ki avru soros, they have transgressed laws, toiros. Number two is cholfu chok, they have exchanged. Chok is another word for a law. And number three is heferu beris olam, they have nullified the ancient covenant. So if this refers to the Jewish people, so then we can translate simply Torah refers to Torah Shebech, that's what the Farshim learn, it means refers to Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebal Peh. Cholfu Chok, the Chok would refer to, let's see what the Mitzudos, what he says for the Chok. Avru lahalon mechok ha-Torah v'loi kimua. Okay, again, it's the same thing, the laws of the Torah. It's a repetition. According to this interpretation, I'm sure there's some nuance, there's some difference, but according to the principle of referring to the Jewish people, the Torah, he says, refers to Torah Shebel Sata Shebel Peh, and the Chok also refers to the Chok HaTorah, the laws of the Torah. Isn't that included in the Torah? Yes, it is. But there's repetition. Okay, obviously, there must be some deeper significance. Maybe there's some of the Midrashim. I'm not aware. Okay, there's a long midrash. I didn't see this midrash. I didn't have this looking yesterday, but there are midrashim referring specifically to what the sins are. And next, hefiru bris olam. The bris olam refers to also some as we over here. The according to the mitzvot refers to hi atarsha kiblu bris l'kaima. Third reference to the Torah, and the mitzvot says v'chafal davar plamim v'shalosh k'derech hamalitza. That's the derech. That's typical of the mitzvot. We learn simple on a very simple level. There is repetition, and that's the way the Nevi'im spoke, repeated himself many terms in order that people should pay attention, and it should. Every person, different words strike you differently. For one person, when they hear the word chok, they get it makes an impression. Other people, when they hear the word bris, it makes an impression. Others need to hear the word toros. Everyone is different. So Yeshaya, he spoke to everyone their level. Everyone should hear term that meant something to them, but it refers to the Jewish people. Other Mepharshim learn that this pasuk refers to the world, and the toros and the chok and the bris olam refers to different treaties Hashem made with Adam. When Hashem created the world, Hashem taught Adam there are certain things, there are certain guidelines. What exactly the guidelines are, they are. And then the chok refers to the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and the bris olam also refers to certain norms of society. It refers again to different ideas which are logical in order to preserve a healthy and normal society. The world has violated these laws. Everyone is in it for themselves. The world is selfish, and the society is corrupt, and therefore Hashem has no choice but to bring an end to this world at the time of Mashiach with these terrible, frightening expressions of boike ka'aretz bolka v'iva ponecha v'hefet siyashvach. So again, this pasuk over here, pasuk hey, okay, just learn on a very similar level. There are three different transgressions: avru chok, cholfu avru toros, cholfu chok, hefir bris olam. Either refers to Jewish people or refers to the umos olam. Yeah.
If it refers to the Jewish people, does each term refer to the entire Tarayag mitzvahs?
I don't know. There's a medrash which I didn't see.
Bris olam is
bris milah, right?
I would say it's Shabbos.
Okay, in the Hanami. That's right. You can say it's Shabbos, you can say it's Bris Milah. You could say Hashem made a bris with Avraham Avinu, the bris ben Abasarim. Yeah, in the Hanami, you're right. I'm sure if you dig into the Midrashim, you look in the Mepharshim, you'll find many interpretations. That's the nature of Yeshayah in the Nevi'im Achronim. It's very abstract, it's very vague, which purposely allows itself to be interpreted on many levels. All we have here in front of us on the very same levels, there are three different sins. There are Avru Soros, number two, Cholfu Chok, number three, Hefir Bris Olam. Then, after we have these three sins, there are two basic approaches. The approach that this refers to the Jewish people, the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the approach that refers to the nations of the world, the time of Milchemes Gog u'Magog. So, we take those two approaches, and we take the three sins, so and then you have to dig very deep into Avodah Zarah, Gilurei Shvicha Stam, perhaps, maybe that's an interesting approach, and then you have to fit those ideas into the words. But these are two approaches, three sins, and I'm sure the deeper you dig, the more interpretations you can come to explain what these sins are. Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara, I don't know if it's in Gittin or other places, mention the first place HaMikdash was destroyed?
Avodah Zarah, Gilurei Shvicha Stam, Sinaschina.
So doesn't the Gemara break out the Avodah
Zarah? The Gemara contradicts itself. There are conflicting midrashim and pieces of Gemara which tell us different reasons why the base HaMikdash was destroyed. On the one hand, we have the Gibik 3, Avodah Zarah, Gil Arai Shvicha Stam. Yeshaya and the Levim, they say over and over, it's Oshak. It's because of robbery, because of theft, extortion.
So
that's a question, it's a contradiction. And then Chazal tells you know why the Churban happened? It's because they asked the Nevi'im, and they asked all the Talmidei Chachamim, and they didn't know the answer. No one can know why. The Gemara tells us what. They didn't know. Hashem told us because Shaloi Beruchu Ba'Torah Tzchila. They didn't make a bracha, they didn't recite Beruchas HaTorah. What do you mean? Isn't it because of, is that the Bayis Rishon, that the Bayis Sheni, isn't it Sinas Chinam? So the answer is Elu v'Elu Derilakim Chayim. They're all true. It was because of the three big sins. It was because of extortion. It was because of they didn't appreciate the Torah. There are different perspectives. There are different. They all are true from different angles. Like you know the famous thing: a person goes in the street. You're sitting. Someone's in the center. And there's a person over here. And you ask the person, "Where is this person?" He's on the east. And you ask this person, "Where is he?" He's on the west. How could they possibly? It's a contradiction. How could Rabbi Meir say the east and Rabbi Yehuda say the west? How? The answer is all depends where you're standing. He's standing over here, so when he looks this way, he is east. When he stands here and he looks this way, he's west. It all depends on your perspective. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And the pasuk is purposely vague because there's no question both of these interpretations are true. There was a churban that occurred during the time of the Bayis Rishon, and the pasukim will perfectly, all of the details here can be explained in perfectly how to fit into what happened at that point in time. But there's also, this nevuah was preserved ledoros, which means there's a prophecy that's going, something that's yet to occur, and it could be this prophecy occurs in every generation in a different fashion. Every generation, if Mashiach does not come, there's always a Milchemes Gog u'Magog taking place. Who's Gog, who's Magog, who's Mitzrayim, who is Edom, the musical chair theory. Every generation, the nevuahs repeat itself in different ways, and it's all a matter of interpretation. Al-Kain, Pasik, okay, one more Pasik, Al-Kain, therefore, Al-Kain, Allah. Those three words must be read together. Allah means the oath, means the shvua. Rashi says, Ba'avon shvua shav. Rashi, a very interesting Rashi. You know why this is going to happen? Because people take Hashem's name in vain. Shvua shav. They swear falsely. Do you swear to tell the truth and tell about the truth? People say yes, and they rattle off a whole list of lies. Well, that's why, because people swear, they do not take seriously the name of Hashem, and they swear falsely. That is why, achla eretz, the land will be consumed. But did we not just say one pasuk before pasuk? Hey, that there are three reasons: avru saros, cholfu chok, vehefir bris olam. So, some of us should learn, and not like Rashi, or a little bit different than Rashi, that it's really going back on this. This is a summary. The summary of Avru Saros, Cholfu Chok, Hefir Bris Olam. If you want to summarize the theme, the thread which runs through all three sins, it's you don't value it's the oath. You don't fear the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name runs through the three sins mentioned in the previous pasuk. So this is a summary of the previous pasuk. Okay, that's one approach. But simply, there's another sin that we're listing. A fourth sin. a different type of sin, a different category of sin, of people do not swear truthfully. Ba'avon shvua shav. The Mesudah says the same thing. Ba'avur ha'olah sher ha'isol shav. Because of the oath that was done falsely, l'chein kol saretz. Therefore, the pasuk goes on to say, "Ochel eretz, the land will be consumed, will be eaten up." Who's going to eat up the earth? Either man. There'll be wars, and one man will rob from another man. Man will eat man. If not for the fear of government, man will consume man. The Yeshmu Yosheba and the people of the earth, or it means that nature, there will be a korban, there will be a catastrophe, and the nature itself will consume society. The Yeshmu Yosheba and the people who live in the earth will be guilty. Okay, they will be guilty. Now, what exactly does that mean? Why are they guilty? I guess due to their sins. Al kain, therefore, charu. Now, this is a very scary word. They will be burnt. Charu means to be burnt. That sounds something that sounds very frightening, that there's going to be a massive fire that will run throughout the earth. That sounds like an atomic bomb, some type of a nuclear war, chas v'shalom. That's Rav Schwab. He writes this over and over in this parak. That's how, he was writing in the, he told me in the 80s, when he wrote this, was when he was writing, everything he gave shirim, they were taped and they're transcribed by his son. But charu yoshe eretz, the people of the earth will be burnt. V'nishar Enosh Mizor. Mizor means small, few. And there will be a few survivors. After this catastrophe, this korban, this holocaust, kaviyachol, chas v'shalom, there will be a few survivors that will remain on this earth. Okay, and that we will see. We'll soon go on to describe who will be among these survivors, to be the Jewish people, who will escape to the ends of the earth. Doesn't say they'll be in Eretz Yisrael. It says there will be far-flung corners of the earth. There will be pockets of people who have survived, including Jews, and they will sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that we will continue Yit Hashem next Monday. We'll pick up with Pasuk Zayin.